Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast, episode 26. Out of darkness?
Out of darkness.
Are we in the darkness?
No.
Why are we coming out of darkness this week, Johnny?
How many times did you watch Into Darkness?
Three.
And I watched it twice, I think.
So we watched it, the wife and I watched it for her first time ever.
Oh, well, that was like a couple weeks ago.
Last week. 2 weeks ago, maybe. And then I've watched it twice since we've decided we were going to do what we're going to do here. Hey, guys. This is Brian.
Johnny.
The Infamous Podcast. Hey, we're going to do this at the beginning. Hey, 5-star reviews.
In case you forget.
Just in case you forget. And we'll remind you at the end. But no. Hey, guys. If you have questions, email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at
I feel like Infamous we just Podcast. Did the show and this is the end of the show.
No, I just wanted to like kind of get it out there because we want to hear from you guys, especially with like kind of all the wacky stuff that's been happening with the Golden Globes. Obviously, we're going to talk about... at the top of the show, the two big deaths that we've had in the last couple days.
Yeah.
So we'll just hop right in. Today, Alan Rickman passed away.
Today, January 14th.
So he was sick. He had cancer.
Well, I didn't read yet what had happened.
So much like David Bowie, who also passed away this week to cancer, they were both 69 years old.
Yeah. Both, surprising deaths because... obviously, they were not public about their sickness.
Yeah, which, I had no idea Alan Rickman was sick.
You know.
So, just real quick. I mean, we'll talk about Bowie. I want to talk about Alan Rickman first because, A, it happened today, and, B, I'm a bigger Alan Rickman fan than David Bowie fan.
Yeah.
So, Alan Rickman, he played 41 films. Die Hard was his first American film as Hans Gruber. He actually has 68 credits to his name. He was 41 when he played Hans Gruber. I apologize. And he is also Severus Snape.
I didn't realize he was as old as he
Metatron
was.
In Dogma.
Yeah.
He was in Love Actually, which is, a favorite of both of ours.
Right.
So, yeah, this one's a rough one. He was an amazing actor.
He was even the villain in Love Actually.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. Okay. So, he was in, was he in Robin Hood? No.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prince of Thieves, yeah. So
cut your heart out with a spoon.
Why a spoon? It'll hurt more, you twit. Anyway. So yeah, I mean he's an iconic actor, especially for the genre of stuff that we talk about.
Yeah.
He's played
three major iconic roles because Hans Gruber, Sheriff of Nottingham, and Severus Snape.
Yeah. So, it's just one of those things where I took your cap off because you held it right up to the microphone and I just heard this. Anyway, and that's what they're all going to hear because I don't edit anything
This out. Is not professional recording by any means.
Pay us and we'll be professionals.
Well, you know.
So, but I like having my amateur card because it lets me mess up from time to time.
Yeah, and not exactly.
So then David Bowie, same thing, cancer. Obviously like a true innovator in music for the past 40
An
years.
Icon.
Yeah. Icon, definitely. And like from, again, our audience, the thing he would probably be most known for outside of being a musician was the Goblin King from Labyrinth.
Yep.
Which is a great movie and still actually holds up very well to this day.
Oh, yeah. So, I watched it recently before his passing.
Yeah.
And that just was one of those things where I'm like, it's on Netflix and I was like, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, my favorite, like, anything of David Bowie was the Under Pressure with Queen.
Right. I can remember as a kid seeing The Man Who Fell to Earth before I really understood what it was and that. And going back and revisiting it as an adult is a different experience, of course.
Yeah.
And that, and just his music is there. I mean, I picked up The Martian on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, the song's in there. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like,
But yeah, I mean, if you go to his IMDb page, I mean, you scroll for a long time because he's all over movie soundtracks.
I mean, he's been in some stuff recently, too. So.
Well, and just the movie soundtracks. Right. I think, he obviously knew this was coming because he released an album just last week.
He did that for the fans.
I mean, that was nice. And like, I've listened to some of it. And it's really, really good. So,
yeah, their families will, go on.
Yeah, it's just rough. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's...
I know it's rough on the fans.
2016 has gotten off to a...
rocky start?
Yeah, rocky. I was going to say crappy, but yeah, rocky start.
Yeah. Yeah, no more death for the rest of the year. Yeah.
So it's like Spider-Man. No one dies.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. So we're going to review Star Trek Into Darkness this week because we're going to review one Star Trek movie. Did I say Star Wars Into Darkness?
No, you said Star Trek. Yeah.
We're going to review a Star Trek movie each month for the 50th anniversary. But before we get there, did you see the new... Batman versus Superman TV spot.
Just the little tease thing where he hits him with the car.
Where he tries to run him over with the Batmobile.
Well, we've seen part of that already.
Well, we've seen the end of that. We didn't know that he tried to run Superman over.
I kind of figured that's what he did. I mean, the car was like ripped in half pretty much. So, you know.
But
now you can do it with your Lego sets.
Have fun. Well, I mean, the toys are starting to hit.
Well, they're down. I've seen them at Target. So, you know.
And we've seen them at our Target, which means they didn't just go buy. Like, the people who worked there didn't steal all the toys before they made it to the shelves. Anyway, that's my own problem. But the dialogue is so cheesy. And they actually released an extended 44-second one today. Really? And Superman lands, rips the doors off, and he tells him, the next time you see your little light in the sky, don't bother answering it. The bat is dead. And then... dong dong, then the whole "Do you bleed?"
Yeah,
tell you know, me, do you bleed? And he flies off like he's like, "I don't care if I bleed or not, I'm out of here." This is one where I'm not gonna worry about. I'm gonna watch everything they put out about this because I have to have something.
Oh, you're gonna avoid? You're not gonna avoid? No, spoilers
I have to
this?
See something that makes me want to go see this because what I've so seen far, so you haven't far, seen I haven't seen a thing that
what,
tells
flamboyant
me this is
Lex Luthor doesn't.
Hello, boys. But yeah, it's just one of those things where in my note though, I put where did he get his bat license? Because you know, it's just like it was ridiculous.
Batman doesn't have a license. No. Batman just drives. And on the flip side, this was the 50th anniversary of the...
50th, yeah.
Yeah, Batman television series. So, which was Adam West.
Just this week.
Yeah, was the 50th anniversary was, I think, Monday?
Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday, yeah.
What's today? Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
I've had a real problem with what day
what
it is.
What day week. Do we usually record the infamous podcast?
But, well, I woke up and I thought it was Friday today. So yeah, there was the 50th anniversary, and to celebrate that, Lego introduced,
the most expensive set, I think, that I've seen.
How much is it?
$269. Well, most expensive regular set, I guess you would say. It's not a Ideas, it's not a collector series set. It's just a regular Lego DC superhero set, and it's $269.
So, but it is the Bat Mansion / cage.
Yeah, it has part of the Wayne Manor, and they actually will slide down the poles, except the poles are twisted.
Yeah.
So they spin down the poles. And
it looks really cool.
Minifigure-wise, it's one of the best minifigure sets I've ever seen.
I like that Batman.
It has Cesar Romero Joker with the mustache on the face.
And then the vehicles.
Julie Newmar Catwoman.
Yep.
Yeah, three vehicles.
You get the Batcopter, you get the Batmobile, and then that sweet-ass Batcycle with the sidecar. So
I mean, it's worth the price, but the price is just like, oh my God, you know, my wallet hurts already.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one I'll be getting just because of that, like, sticker shock.
Yeah, yeah. So. It might have put something else to the side that I was going to get, like the Jokerland.
Yeah, I'm not going to get Jokerland. I'm going to check Bricklink and get the two figures that I want.
Yeah.
Other than that,
I like it though.
It's a cool set, and I love the Batmobile that's in that.
I might just spend $100 and get that one and build my points up. But is what I'm thinking though,
maybe when there's a double points. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
the end of the year.
Yeah. So, okay, so Batman's 50th anniversary, just like Star Trek, which is crazy. I didn't even realize
they were so close together. Somebody did a fan film, and I don't know if it's still, like, if it was ever finished, but somebody was doing a fan film where it was Star Trek and Batman, and it was the 66 Batman, and it, you know, it looked pretty decent, but I don't know if they ever finished it or not. It may be on YouTube.
Yeah, I showed the kid the 66 Batman movie.
Yeah.
And when the shark was on his leg and he pulled out the shark repellent, she got up and walked out of the room.
Yeah.
She's like, nope, Dad, I'm not watching this. I've had enough. This is stupid. It's like, fair enough. So, yeah, I have my own issues with that, like being a Robin fan and what Burt Ward did to the Robin character.
What they did to the whole...
Well, the whole thing. The whole campiness, yeah. But...
But it's part of the Batman mythos. Mm-hmm. I mean...
No, it's funny. I love watching it. If you ask
Grant
Morrison,
it actually is part of the Batman mythos, yep. And he wrote that into the book. I mean,
into the multiversity.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, no, and it was a fun show. I mean, don't get me wrong, but...
Oh, speaking of multiversity, I'm going to show something to you on the phone real fast.
Okay, for this audio medium.
Well, people can find this in Target stores. I don't know if you've seen these yet. Multiversity figures.
Oh, nice. It's the Arrow TV series and the Flash TV series.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's a Build-A-Figure in them.
Oh, yeah, I see that. I wonder what that is.
I'll show you. I took another picture of the back of them.
So, we'll post these on the, on the show notes on the website. But, oh, is it Justice Buster?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird looking Build-A-Figure. The Batman does not really look that good, but that Joker.
That Joker looks cool. And he's pretty sweet. The Black Superman from Multiversity.
Yeah, he hasn't come out yet, so he's coming soon is what it says.
That's pretty cool. And then Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
Very nice.
My question is, where's Ray?
Well, hey, they've announced a whole line of Ray toys. Yeah,
I am so tired of that.
And they're, well, we were waiting. No, you weren't.
Where's Ray? I'm tired of that whole thing. It's like, you know, if anybody's been collecting long enough, you know that they don't put the figures all out at once.
No.
And if you're that if you're that undereducated about buying toys, you probably shouldn't be buying toys, even if you're buying for your kids.
Undereducated about toys, like, listen to things like this, because it's like, now, I'll say this. The first two Force Awakens things that I bought, you were with me.
Right.
It was the Nerf Chewie Bowcaster, and it was the Rey Lego set.
Right, yeah, that's the Lego set I bought.
You know, like, for all this, like, where's Rey? It was in the very first line of Legos.
Well, it was the whole thing that they're not going to put her in anything where they're going to reveal the movie.
And it made
sense.
And
that's what I'm saying, is, like, somebody to complain about that, you know, that she's not in a Monopoly set.
Like, if you
that
really
it was Darth Vader and Kylo Ren and Luke Skywalker and...
You know what one of my big complaints is? Is they have that Poe Dameron, you know, traitor, stormtrooper dual set.
Oh,
why isn't Finn in there?
FN...
That's how, FN 2099 something. Which I'm reading that book.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Okay.
So, I'll have to put it on your Kindle for you. Oh, okay.
The approaching or whatever of lead up to Awakens.
So, it's really good. I'm about halfway through it.
Yeah.
And I've been, I mean, obviously it's Greg Rucka. And then there's some Phil Noto art in there.
Right, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So,
yeah. That's why I bought it.
All right. So, award season is officially kicked off.
I was going to say, here's something else for us to complain about.
The Martian.
Funniest movie of the year.
Now, there were funny parts to that movie.
Yeah, it's got a sense of humor to it.
But a comedy, you know, it's one of those things. Okay, so I have the note here with all the...
Well, didn't even Ridley Scott say something about it when he went up and accepted the award?
Yeah. So, in the musical or comedy Best Picture, we had The Martian, which won.
Yeah.
Joy.
Okay, with Jennifer Lawrence.
You know, and it's the same team that did Silver Linings Playbook, De Niro, Bradley Cooper. Like,
right.
I think that's, again, like kind of a dramedy type thing, not necessarily.
Yeah, she sings in it, so it's like, okay, you know, cool. you go with a musical at that point. And yeah, there was music in.
Spy, which that's an actual. Right. Some people would consider that a comedy. I wasn't one of them. Yeah, The Big Short. Again, a comedy. It's about the housing crash on Wall Street. It's Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt.
Was it because they had comedic actors in it?
I guess. It was really good, but it wasn't funny.
Huh.
You know? And then Trainwreck, which...
Was a comedy.
If you would have asked me, like, what should have won out of that group, I totally would have picked Trainwreck.
Because it was a comedy.
It was funny. It had had genuine funny moments. LeBron James was in it.
Right.
And was legit funny. John Cena had a great little...
Yeah, you told me
it wasn't a cameo. It was like a great little role.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just kind of wonder what they're thinking.
Yeah, I would like to know what the thought was behind that. I mean, I would have gone with like Best Picture, and you said that what the Academy Award nominations, it's part of the
Best Picture. Yeah, it's one of, because there's 10 Best Pictures right. that they do now, yeah, and it's obviously. One of them. For the drama for Best Pictures, I mean, it was Revenant, Fury Road, Room, which I haven't seen, but it's got Brie Larson, who was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Spotlight, which is one I plan on seeing because it's about newspapers and journalism and that kind of stuff. And then a movie called Carol, which I had never heard of
before. Oh, Carol's the one that was filmed here in Cincinnati.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's just an indie drama, pretty much.
It has Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara.
Oh, cool.
In it. Yeah, it filmed here last year.
Okay. Yeah. I missed that one.
Well informed there on the Cincinnati filmings.
I'm super informed, so...
Cincinnati Film Commission.
I interned there in college for like a minute. It was just kind of weird. The other like kind of weird thing was for TV shows.
Yeah. I didn't look at any of these nominations. I don't really care about award shows.
No. So Mr. Robot won Best Drama, which was awesome.
I'm sure you were happy about
and
that.
And I was very happy. But then for musical or comedy... a movie called Mozart in the Jungle one, or not movie, TV series.
Oh, that's a Netflix.
It's an Amazon Prime. It's an Amazon
Prime. Oh, Amazon
exclusive.
Prime, sorry.
Really weird. Like, it was up against
some
pretty
strong stuff. Have you
watched it? No, I've seen it, and I thought it was a kid's show.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, like this, like, and again, this is like the worst thing you can do, judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
And like, I saw the, like, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, instead of watching that, I watched this British one called Catastrophe, which was actually pretty good.
Okay.
But yeah, like it was up against Casual, which is a Hulu. So this is great. So Mozart in the Jungle, Amazon. Casual, Hulu. Orange is the New Black, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Silicon Valley, which I feel should have won.
Okay.
Because the second season was great. HBO. Transparent, Amazon. And then Veep, which I have no idea why people are nominating this show for anything because it is
I've
so
never watched
dumb.
It.
Like, and I've watched every episode.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's kind of like... It started out good, but it's gotten really dumb. But not a single network.
That says something.
You know, I mean, that tells you something.
Yeah.
The same thing with dramas other than Empire, you know.
Yeah.
Not a single show. All right. So it was just some weird stuff. Like Lady Gaga won.
I've always found the Golden Globes to not be... You know, and anything accurate to me.
They do stuff like this, and yeah, it makes you, like, question, like, is this a real award?
Yeah. Lady Gaga, I can understand, because she was a main character on
that
series.
Yeah, but she was up against Kirsten Dunst for Fargo.
Yeah, well, you said
that
you really
liked her. She
was
amazing in that role. But yeah. All right, so.
It's, you know, it's whatever the taste of the moment is.
Yeah, and I get that. I really do. The Oscar nominations came out. We've barely looked at them. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
So
we'll talk about the end of Secret Wars.
Yep. The end
the
of
end
Secret
of
Wars.
Vader Down, Walking Dead 150. We'll do that all next week.
Okay.
And that,
so let's hop right in.
Yeah.
Let's hop into darkness. If you will.
As Benedict Cumberbatch said, shall we begin?
That's happened. Like Crixus said it, you know, Theocles said
it. We all
it,
say
know.
It.
Sheamus says it right now on WWE. It's just one of those things. Okay, so last night I watched the extended commentary.
Yeah.
Expanded commentary because you had started watching it. And I was like, well, if you're going to watch it, I'm going to watch it.
I couldn't make it through it.
I made it further than you did, I think.
You said you fell asleep
but
around
I fell
the part
asleep
where I stopped.
Because it was boring.
Right.
Like, it was all these technical people.
I don't mind, like, technical people on the thing, but what it is, with those types of commentary, I want to see the people's faces. So, like, Mallrats is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Mallrats, when they did a commentary on that, you know, DVD even, they had the cast
picture,
in a
picture,
small box, and then the movie was playing right above it. So you could see them talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's the way I felt like it could have been done.
Well, and in this, like, you saw the pictures, like, they showed you, like, the before and after shots,
they were doing a lot
of
that,
but again, I want to see.
Well, it was one of those things where if you're going to have the people like when they come into it, show them,
yeah,
introduce it, and then go, okay, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, when they're talking about what's going on in Nibiru,
yeah,
was fascinating. Like, fascinating behind-the-scenes stuff.
Like, I don't know if it got better after, like, the part where we gave up on it.
The part with the editors talking about editing. Editing is, like, one of those things where it's, like, unless the director and the editors are talking about it, it's not as fascinating.
There was a lot of, well, we cut this scene, or we shot 30 takes of this scene. And it's like, you know what? I want to know why you shot 30 scenes, but I don't want your opinion. I want J.J. Abrams' opinion.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, it was... I wanted to hear from, like, Chris Pine and you know, like...
Right.
To this day, my two favorite movies to watch with the commentary on are Fight Club and Seven.
Okay.
And
is it because Brad Pitt's...
And David Fincher and...
David Fincher and Ed Norton and Brad Pitt.
And it's just one of those things where... Did they have
Morgan Freeman on the Seven?
I don't remember. No, I don't think so, because... but it was too busy
to do them commentary things.
I mean, he would do the commentary and like nobody else would talk. Exactly. They would just sit there and listen to him.
You know,
it's funny because like David Fincher called out like parts where he messed up. One where like the rain is coming from the wrong direction.
Yeah, and I don't know if JJ even is on this further down the line.
I didn't get the impression.
It was one of those things where I wanted to start skipping around, but it was one of those, do I want to do that or do I want to watch something else?
Yep.
And I'm like, I'd rather watch something else than... skip around and, you know, listen to editors. I mean, Michael Giacchino at one point talks for a few minutes, and I'm like, he could have talked longer.
Yep.
But, like, they didn't have him on there that long.
No. I mean, the best part from what we both watched was the opening scene with the volcano and that alien race and...
Enterprise like, underwater and...
The fact that forest was only 60 feet long. Which right, is, yeah. They for 60 feet long... They got a lot of use out of it.
Oh, yeah, they did. So, yeah.
But yeah, all right, so just hopping into the movie. The way this opens feels like Star Trek.
Just on a planet.
Just on this random planet. Well, and
the shot at the beginning is like from above, and you just see the temple, and you see somebody come running out, and it, you know it's Kirk. I mean, obviously, you know it's Kirk, but you don't know why.
Right.
And then it gets to the point where. You know, it shows the volcano, and you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah, why is he running away? Yeah. And why are they chasing him?
I'm literally, you know, and it's one of those things where, like we said, commentary, the writers, if they would have had separate commentaries and had, like, a writer's commentary, because, like, you know, I'm reading stuff into movies when I watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting into the...
Yeah, you're putting head, your own opinion.
And the whole point of this, like, opening sequence was they're trying to save the planet.
Yeah. And, well, they're trying to save this group of people, too.
Right. They're the only indigenous species on the planet. They're probably, from what it looked like, the only part of that planet that has species on it besides the regular animal creatures and that live on the planet.
The flora and the fauna.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where I was, you know, I'm sitting there watching it and I'm thinking, did Kirk and Spock feel the need to save this planet because of what happened to Vulcan?
That's a good question.
And that's what I'm like, you know. So. Is it one of those things where they're on a kick to, we're going to save every planet we can because we lost this one?
Yeah, and you know, this takes place 4 years after the events of Star Trek.
Right.
So, and it's Nibiru? Nibiru, that's right.
Yeah.
So, and they're called Nibs.
Yeah.
Well. Which I thought was funny because, like, I really like the Twizzler Nibs.
Right.
Like, it's one of my favorite candies, so I got a little kick out of that. Yeah, so Kirk is the captain still.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looked like that whole shot, the running, catching up to McCoy.
Oh, yeah.
Killing their quote-unquote ride.
When he shoots the animal.
Which I thought that was cool when they pointed out in the commentary that it was very similar to the animal one that from the chases ice planet. Him,
yeah.
And it looked different. But it was. But once they pointed that out, it's like, oh, yeah, I see it now. Like, I don't think
Carl Urban is Dr. McCoy. Carl Urban's Dr. McCoy is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got the Forest Kelly down.
Yeah, like with the little like tick.
Yeah, the eye little, tick. Yeah, and
damn it, man! damn it, man! You killed our ride. So I have to say this: Carl Urban doesn't make a lot of bad movies.
The only one I can think of that I've never watched the whole thing was Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that had the Rock in it, so I mean, you knew it wasn't
that was
be
like
very
one of
good.
His first movies, like you know, outside of New Zealand, Australia. Yeah. I mean, the dude played Cupid on Xena and Hercules, so if you could get by that, then you're okay.
I really liked him in Red.
Well, he's been in a lot of stuff where you don't expect it. He was in one of the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things where he pops up.
I mean, and he's a great chameleon. He grows that beard and you have no idea it's him. Like, I loved his dread.
Oh, yeah.
So, but anyway. Yeah, so this the way this started, I had a lot of hope moving forward.
Yeah.
You know? Because it was one of those things where, you know...
Because they were on a planet, you thought you were getting a Star Trek.
Yeah, that, I thought there was going to be some topping around. But,
I mean, the previews were there. I mean, obviously, you knew what was coming and that. I mean...
Yeah. It's there one were of those rumors where, of who the Cumberbatch was going to play.
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, one of those things where, like, everybody kept saying he's Khan, and I'm like, please let him not be Khan.
And so he's introduced as a character named John Harrison.
Yeah.
Who is someone
he's not introduced at all. You're introduced to a Starfleet officer who wakes up with his wife in London.
And who's played by Mickey the Idiot.
Yeah, Mickey, yeah.
Noel.
Which I would have liked to see more of his character. Yeah.
What's Noel's last name?
Noel Clark.
Noel Clark, yeah, thank you.
I would have liked to see more of his character, like, besides, you know, just being there. You know, I feel visually.
We got his of Noel Clark?
Yeah.
I mean, we got his motivation very clearly. Right. He was trying to save his daughter.
Save his daughter.
Sick, right. And Khan had the cure.
Yeah.
Now, it would have been interesting to see, did Khan make her sick?
Yeah.
You know, like...
I think she just had a degenerative thing going on, you know?
See, that was one thing when the editor ladies were talking. Like, they didn't want to make that scene unless they knew the girl was going to survive.
Right.
And it's like... That's inconsequential now, to the story.
The cool thing about that is they do that where, and you know, like I said, I didn't watch all the commentary, but I watched all of the deleted scenes. Mm. They could have left out the whole thing with her getting better.
Yeah.
And left in a scene near the end of the movie after Kirk gives his speech.
Yeah. Where
they meet the daughter and the mother are at the memorial service.
Yeah. That would have been a really cool emotional payoff instead of just seeing a screen that may or may not have been her.
So he blows up the archive, quote unquote, that turns out to be Section 51. Yeah, I think it's Section 51.
Is it 47, 37, whatever?
Section 51 is the...
Section 31.
31, that's it. Section 31. Blows that up, and pretty much, like, at the same time Kirk's getting this Enterprise taken away from him.
Yeah.
Because he lied on his report about what happened on Nabaru.
Well, I think he just... He omitted some things. It was a lie of omission.
Lie of omission.
And Spock ratted him out.
Right. Which, Spock... Spock in this movie is a lot different than the Spock we know. Because he's going through an emotional crisis, I think. I literally wrote down
an emotional crisis. I mean, it's an identity crisis. It's who is he?
Well, I think it's the whole thing of, you know, what do you do when your planet's gone, your mother died, you know. It's your fault indirectly.
Yeah.
Because it was your counterpart from another universe.
Right.
And, you know, you're half human... And you got to hide your emotions because you're more Vulcan than you are human.
And you get the idea. I mean, they've been at it for a while, and you get the idea that these guys get along.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some conflict, but they're friends.
And, you know, for him to do that seemed out of character for this point in the story.
Well, I think it made sense to me in the sense that, you know, when he's in the volcano and he's, like, you know, pretty much ready to die.
Yeah.
And he's telling them, you don't break the Prime Directive. Don't break the Prime. Right. You know, the Prime Directive is the number one rule in Starfleet. And it's like, you know, even at that point where they're saving the planet,
they're breaking the Prime Directive.
They're breaking the Prime Directive, but there's no direct, like, interference because they've not seen anybody except this, like, guy wrapped in a suit that stole their religious art relic, you know,
and gave it back to them.
Like, he got it far enough away from the temple where they knew the temple was going to be destroyed.
So that scene with Spock in the volcano, it always reminded me of the scene in Real Genius when Clint is in the house, and they have the laser shooting down on it, and he's like all like spazzing out, waiting for the laser to come. Just that scene reminded me of that.
Yeah,
because he closes his eyes and he's kind of like,
That thing. I watched all the behind the scenes stuff, and that was cool to watch how they shot that because it was literally like they were shooting it in a volcano.
Yeah, I mean the effects of that were awesome, like freezing the magma and the lava, and it's just one of those things where, you know, again, like,
did you not like this movie?
I did like this movie. Okay. And I probably like this movie more than most people.
Right.
Because I don't care that he was Khan. My greater concern is he's Khan out of context.
It felt to me like Khan was forced into this movie.
So like Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. If that character was like purple.
Yeah.
And not green, like, you know, if he was purple with orange pants.
Right.
And they called it, you know, Yojimbo or, you know, the creature or the monster.
Right.
People would have loved that movie. You know,
yeah.
I think if they stick with calling this guy John Harrison or he's a new villain,
and see that's where I've always said he should have been John Harrison. They should have left him John Harrison, and they should have mentioned that he was from the Botany Bay.
Yeah,
and that his leader was Khan.
Khan could have been one of the guys in the
in the tubes, and that he was trying to save Khan and the rest of his crew.
Yeah.
And I think the story would have went better.
And they could have ended this movie with putting those people on SETI Alpha.
Yeah.
So,
well, even putting them in, leaving them where they leave them at the end of the movie, you're still like, oh shit, Khan's in there.
Yeah.
Something could happen that eventually. That could happen down the
line. So, yeah. I agree with you. They forced Khan. The other thing that I felt like they forced in the movie.
I think that was the studio. I think it really was the studio because the fans were like, oh, bring Khan in. And it was like, there are two things that you could bring into a movie, into a Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Khan and Klingons.
Yep.
I'm like, I would have rather seen more Klingons. And not seeing Khan at all.
Yeah, I think it would have been an interesting story to have. As much as I love
that character,
yeah.
I love that character because Ricardo Montalban kicked ass as that character.
Yeah, I mean, having John Harrison try to kick off a war between the Federation and the Klingons would have been ideal. The other thing that I felt like they forced into this was Alice Eve's Carol Marcus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was to get us...
I wrote that down.
Oh, did you? It was... I felt like they were trying to elicit, like, hey, this is... Wrath of Khan redo.
It was literally again, like the two top things I wrote things I liked and things I disliked, and it was like, why did John Harrison need to be Khan? And then I wrote, did we need the introduction of Carol Marcus?
Yeah.
and then literally, like, I have this Star Trek 2 story elements, too many of them.
Yeah,
too many.
So we just saw Force Awakens,
right?
And people are complaining up and down that it was too much like A New Hope.
I don't feel like that.
Star Wars. No, and I think they just borrowed too much from this. And then the swap at the end, which we'll get to. But I liked the characterizations of Spock and Kirk.
Yeah.
Scotty.
Everybody was great in it, but it was just, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is good in it.
Yes.
But the whole idea of Khan in it was just, you know... there was nobody there that went, why?
Yeah.
You know, why are we doing this?
Like, you know, when he showed up in Wrath of Khan in the old Star Trek universe, there was that built-in, like, problem already because
they had already encountered the TV series. Well, and that was the other thing is, why the hell didn't somebody go and say, oh, he was alive on Earth this many years ago? Punch it in the computer.
Yeah.
Is there a gap in the history of the Earth? Did somebody forget to put, like, a history book into the computer?
When Nemo came back, he just destroyed... Well, right. Nero, he just destroyed, you know, documents and...
Right, yeah. It's just that whole thing where it's like, you know...
Maybe all that was housed on Vulcan.
Oh, nice. I should just come over the table
you
now.
You should just smack me, you know, for that.
Well, it's literally like, you know... As soon as he turns around and says, my name is Khan.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody went, who?
Yeah.
Or, oh yeah, we've heard of you before. Because literally when Khan is introduced in the original...
Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
You're better than us.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's where they could have, and I would have been okay with it totally. If they introduced Carol Marcus and said, she has a degree in, you know, or she has expertise in weaponry and... She has a degree in history.
Right.
And then it would have been, you know, Carol Marcus would have went, wait a minute, I've heard of him before. Yeah. Then I would have went, okay, that's fine.
Well, here's the other thing, is Star Trek Enterprise is in the canon of this movie set.
Obviously, because we've seen the Enterprise on Admiral Marcus's desk.
And we saw the eugenics in that series.
Yeah.
They could have called back to that and had it be one of those characters. Right. Yeah. You know, you're right. They shoehorned it in.
Yeah.
You know, and was it Paramount? Probably.
I think it was a mix of fan demand, which they capitulate to sometimes.
But was there fan demand for him to play Khan? Oh,
there was just fan demand. See, I don't remember. Khan be in the movie. The Khan be in the movie. And I was like, if you're going to cast Khan, cast Nestor Carbonell from Lost as Khan. And it's like, you know, he would have been awesome because he's got that cold calculating type.
From, he was the Gotham City mayor in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, that would have been...
Yeah.
And that's where I said, that's why I would have rather Benedict Cumberbatch have been John Harrison and mentioned, you know, they found me, they opened my tube on the Botany Bay, you know, and they kept the rest of my crew, including my leader, Khan, in stasis.
Yeah, and again, that gives more motivation.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I'm trying to get my leader out.
Yeah.
You know, like, because the Khan that they developed, he was very cold and calculating. Yeah. Like, I don't think he necessarily would have worried about saving all of his people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he was concerned for them.
And the thing is obviously, like with the Star Wars Expanded Universe, there is an expanded universe of Star Trek, and there were three novels that were about Khan.
Right.
And not everybody that was part of that crew was, you know, according to those books, were allies.
Yeah, they weren't family.
No, they weren't. They weren't, you know, it wasn't like the speech he gives where he's like, you know, I'm trying to save my crew. You know, you would understand as a captain of a ship saving your crew. And I'm like, that was just bullshit. But
yeah. And there was no Shakespeare. No, with hell's breath, stab at thee. And, you know, it was half measures.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at this movie. It was full on, like, just half measures of, you know, we're going to take this to this point. Like, they killed Pike.
Yeah.
All right.
It had to be done.
It had to be done.
The only reason I say that, you know, I love that character and I love that actor.
Yeah, Bruce Greenwood's awesome.
Bruce Greenwood's awesome, and that Admiral Pike in that universe was, you know, a cool version of Admiral Pike.
Mm-hmm.
Or Captain Pike, and, you know, he went to Admiral. The thing about it is that part of the story, totally agreed with, because the only way for Kirk to grow up is to actually see his father die.
Right.
And Pike was his father figure.
And the problem there, again, with the half measure, is Spock did the mind meld.
Yeah.
But we never got anything from that.
Well, he said it when they're flying around over Kronos, that, you know, he seen into him and he seen what he was feeling when he died. And it's like, yeah, that's what everybody would feel when they died.
But we didn't see, like, you know, like, Kirk didn't have a big payoff of that. Like, he could have, like, melded with Kirk to give him those memories.
Right.
Because it very much was that father-son
role. I just think that was a good enough because of all the, you know, arguing that had happened right up to that point. And then, like, you know, I mean, that's another one of those scenes where it was edited because one version, he sees him die. Yep. And it's like, no, that wasn't... him doing what he does and to stop Khan and then coming back and, you know, he's already dead. It's like, you know, that's worse than seeing him die.
Cause
he didn't get to say goodbye to him.
But, you know, like, so the Kirk from the original, like the OG Kirk.
Prime, the Prime universe.
Sure. Prime. Yeah. Kirk Prime.
Well, they call him Spock Prime. So Kirk Prime.
So Kirk Prime, like, his dad was his hero.
Yeah.
Right.
His dad, George had lived in that universe.
And his dad was a part of Starfleet. And that's why he went into Starfleet. Like, in this universe, like, Kirk Beta, Kirk 2, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the father figure was Pike.
Right.
The reason he went into Starfleet was Pike.
Right.
And, you know, the reason that he was trying to be, like, you know, I felt like when Pike was like, well, you know, you don't have any humility or anything like that. Neither did you. You know, you went full bore into, like, that event in Vulcan with the ship, and you were worried about scratching the Enterprise.
Right.
You know, you thought you were coming out of that completely unscathed.
Right.
Like, he's your protege, you know.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that wasn't the best speech to give him, but, you know, they took the Enterprise away from him. 5 minutes later, he has it back.
Well, you know, at that point, how many Starfleet captains and first officers were dead? You know,
Which, again, like, how stupid is that? Let's gather everybody.
In a tower. Not in a basement. No. In a tower.
And RoboCop knows.
Yeah.
Admiral Marcus knows who's out there.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're paying real close attention when Noel Clark goes into the archive and he sends a message to Admiral Marcus, like, before, you know, and you see it on the screen, and it's like before the explosion happens, and it's like, you know, then Pike introduced, or you know, mentions Marcus being the head of Starfleet, and it's like, you know, what happened to Medea? I think Medea was only the head of Starfleet Academy.
I don't know. I think Tyler Perry was like filming something
else at the time. But I think that character was, you know, the head of the Academy and not the head of Starfleet itself.
Right.
My problem is, why aren't they screening these damn admirals?
Yeah.
You know, every incarnation of Star Trek has had an admiral that just loses his shit.
So I watched Nemesis. And Insurrection.
Insurrection has an admiral.
So I watched Nemesis and Insurrection last weekend, and at one point, Angel, she said that exact thing. She's like, "Why do they let these people be admirals? Are they all corrupt?
I mean, right?
Like, literally, anytime
because the good ones are staying on their starships, they don't want to be
admirals. Anytime there's an admiral involved in Star Trek,
oh yeah,
they're corrupt.
Well, right,
and they're doing something they're not supposed to.
Well, I mean, the best portrayal of an admiral going bad in a Star Trek movie was in Star Trek VI when Admiral Cartwright.
Right.
Because you had been introduced to him in Star Trek IV and he seemed fine.
Yeah, he was all right.
And then it's like, you know, oh shit, even he's bad. Yeah. It's like, yep. You know? So. Yeah. But I mean, even Kirk, when he was an admiral, he stole a starship.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they just get contaminated by something.
They're just...
But yeah, it's really one of those things where, and I wrote that down. Does anybody go in for a psychological test like once a year? And how you feeling? Are you feeling bad this week? You know, are you gonna build a starship that like can catch up to another starship in warp, blow it up, and have people flying out of it?
Are you gonna create brand new technology and not share it with anybody?
Yeah,
under like some.
The pretense secret, that we're going to turn Starfleet from an exploratory to a military.
So it's like Earth 2. Or, you know, the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he reminded me of.
Yeah, he was kind of like, it was one of those things where, and I just finished reading that in the Star Trek comic book, was the Mirror Universe story.
Oh, cool.
And Khan was the good guy.
Yeah.
Khan literally was a man of peace.
Was he drawn like Benedict Cumberbatch?
He was drawn like Benedict Cumberbatch, except he had long hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, that would have been cooler to see Benedict Cumberbatch with a longer...
Just the
flowing flowing hair.
And the fake...
And it literally had...
The fake pecs.
The... It literally had the Botany Bay and, like, a couple of his crew members. But it was the Dark Universe, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah, the Enterprise was painted black in that universe. I'm like, well, there you go. It's like, that ship was cool design.
Yeah.
A cool design, oh, but I'm like, Vengeance.
Vengeance, yeah.
But why was it called the Vengeance? What were they avenging?
So my problem with the Vengeance is the, like, it was like a circle and then like a line through the middle. So like, if you wanted, you couldn't just like go like crossways.
Are you talking about the,
like the saucer section?
Saucer section, yeah. Like,
that was a big ass ship. You had to walk like a good mile to get around.
Right, but the whole purpose of that ship was for one person to fly it, and cool idea.
So, it was a great looking ship.
Oh yeah.
So I really like. I like. You know. I mean, we haven't talked about this at all, but I really like the look of the Enterprise.
And see, I have a complaint about that.
And I like it because it's a nice like amalgam of the movie version and the TV version of the Enterprise.
But I wrote, is the Enterprise bigger on the inside?
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Than it is on the outside.
Yeah.
Because literally there's stuff in there where I'm like, where's this at?
The Time Lord technology of the engine room. The ever-expanding sky.
Well, that's why I just want... Because they used to do, like, books that were technical manuals.
Yeah, and
They would show, stuff where stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I just want. I want them to do one with the new Enterprise, a technical manual, and if they can explain why the engine room's so freaking huge.
Yeah, why you can't see the ceiling.
All right, yeah.
So, and maybe it's because it's like in the neck.
But, well, it's right near that area. It's right, when it shows the Vengeance shoot and blow out the whole side of the ship, that's the engine room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool but I'm just like, you know... What that big like tubed 12 deck thing that they had running? I'm like, where's that at?
Yeah,
it's more for me. Where's that at? Yeah. Than you
so
know.
I have a question. If you fall out in warp, what happens to you?
you literally disintegrate.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm like, you're dead as soon as you hit. But I mean,
you're dead pretty much as soon as you hit space for the most part. But
why haven't they created a technology where as soon as there's a hole in the ship, it goes whoop?
Well, they have that.
Yeah, but it takes like 10 minutes for it to kick in. Everybody's dead by that.
Someone's got
to
hit a primer. The one person who has the code, you know, or it's Chekhov and it's all V's that he has to say. But
that was the cool thing. Chekhov with the red shirt.
And the look on his face when he said, like, you need to go put a red shirt on. He's like, so like on my
I'm either going to die or get fired.
On the Going Geek blog.
Yeah.
If you go to a page, like if you hit the 404 page to a page that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I actually have an image and it says this shirt or this page has been red shirted.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Beam on back to the homepage or something cheesy like that.
Right.
But, yeah, so at this point, Chekhov is, 21 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's basically like, hey, do you have an idea of how this works?
You know how the engines work, right, Chekhov?
Yeah. You're the new engineer.
Hey, Captain, like, I go.
It's just one of those things where it's like, there wasn't like a...
Like there's no assistant chief engineer?
Yeah, there's no director of engineering or...
Like there's no O'Brien down there, you know... Hey, you're running the transporters, and that's a fun thing. Christopher Doohan is the transporter chief, and that's James Doohan's son who played Scotty. And I'm like, that would have been more cool for them to go, hey, transporter chief, whatever. Can you go down and run the engine room? And he'd be like, yeah, no problem. No problem. My dad did that.
Instead, you have your navigator.
Yeah.
So it was just weird.
Well, I think that was a nod, you know, going back to Star Trek with Khan and the original Star Trek. The nod was that... In the original Star Trek, retrofitting that him into the story of he knew who Khan was, he was in the engine room during that period of time. And I mean, you know, they've acknowledged that as kind of being part of the canon. Yeah.
And it's fine.
Chekhov was on the ship. So they just flipped it. Because he has no interaction or no visual thing of Khan at all. He doesn't run into Khan in anything in the movie. And it's kind of a nod to that whole thing.
No, like I said, it was just funny. It's this 21-year-old kid. But he's a genius. He is a genius. Yeah. So, not enough Sulu?
The whole thing with him sitting in the captain's chair.
And he's like, you know, I will fire.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, when McCoy's like, oh, Mr. Sulu, remind me not to piss you off.
So,
a hope that further down the line, obviously, if these movies continue, that, you know, they will promote people. And Sulu would be like a captain maybe, or, you know, I kind of like to see Spock in a gold shirt.
Yeah.
And see, you know, what Spock looked like in a gold shirt.
So, I mean, you know, John Cho's a busy guy.
Yeah.
You know, have him be a captain of another ship. Yeah. You know, he shows up not as a cameo, but like kind of shows up for a smaller part of the movie.
Right.
That'd be great.
Well, it'd be cool to see like Excelsior in this universe.
I mean, like what's Chris Pine, like outside of Star Trek?
He's got plenty of movies going on, but
he does. But he's only done a couple good ones.
Yeah,
He'll
be playing Steve Trevor in Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
We'll see how good it is.
That's not him that I'm worried about. But no, he did the one with Tom Hardy and Renee Reese Witherspoon.
This
Means War.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great.
Yeah.
He wasn't horrible as Jack Ryan.
That
was just a bad movie.
He needs more comedies.
Yeah.
His timing is really good. Perfect.
He was great in Horrible Bosses too.
See, I haven't seen that.
But that was a total money grab for everyone who was involved. Like Christoph Waltz was his dad.
Oh wow, okay.
So you know, it was that. But no, I think overall, and we'll get kind of a little deeper into this. Overall, like at this point in the movie where they're on their way to Kronos, they're speeding towards the neutral zone. It's kind of where we're at. It feels like a Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
The interaction with Scotty and Scotty
like, storming quitting. Off. Yeah. I was a big fan of like the DC Star Trek books. And like Montgomery Scott was a huge character in those. And Scotty was always one of my favorites. And Simon Pegg is one of my favorite actors. Right. So like I have like just a special affection for that role because I think he does a great job.
Yeah, he does James a really Duhan good job.
Was great as Scotty as well. Him storming off, I was like, oh no, we're not going to see him for the rest of the movie. Like but I was really concerned.
He literally
about that.
Is like a major part of the movie.
And he's you know, he's the R2-D2 of the Star Trek universe.
Right.
Like, he's the true hero. And I'll argue all day long about
yeah.
that. Anyway.
My silence is my... Okay, I'm not gonna argue. Know.
We've had this conversation hundreds of times.
Yeah.
But no, as he's flying, as they're, you know, they've stripped out of their Starfleet gear, they're in street clothes.
Yeah.
You know, when they get to Kronos...
They're going to get John Harrison off of Kronos.
Right.
And,
this is where they start to lose me.
Okay. Why?
Because he's kind of, so he's come to the point where he knows better than to shoot the prototype proton torpedoes.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know enough to not get in a ship and actually go there himself.
Well, it was the whole thing that I think at that point his mind wasn't straight with the whole death of Pike and that. And it's like, you know, I'm going to have to go ahead and go get this guy because he killed
right.
for all name purposes, my father.
But then they make it to and from Kronos. And they brought two red shirts along with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they bring two red shirts back with them.
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, this is where you guys lost me. Those guys both would have died.
Well, the one was from the first movie.
Yeah.
Cupcake. So it's like, you know, he's actually had a lot of tie-in in the comic books and that, too. Like, his story's expanded, like, to the point where it's like, oh, well, why isn't he the chief engineer?
He should be the chief of security or something.
Well, he would be the one where I'd say if they promoted Sulu, I would put him on the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, he has enough interaction that, you know, it's like, at this point, let the guy just have a seat.
Is he a good enough actor for that?
I don't know
what he's been in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's
I mean,
like,
he could just be a friend of JJ's, you know?
But, you knew what I was going to say.
I know.
But, you know, so that's where, for me, they start to lose it. And then they go there, they get him. It's awesome.
The Klingons are cool. The Klingons look awesome.
I love the piercings in the Klingons.
Right.
That was really cool.
And showing the ridges go all the way back, like the one that didn't have any hair.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the ridges go all the way back.
So.
Having Uhura actually be able to speak Klingon.
Yeah.
You know, instead of the Star Trek VI where she didn't know how to speak Klingon.
Right. Again, that was cool.
Yeah.
But then when they're bringing him back and he's in the brig.
No, let's talk about the Loki walk.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
Dude, man, it is. It's shot for shot the Loki walk, except he doesn't look at Bruce Banner.
No.
I would love to cut that together where it's him walking through and looks at Bruce Banner.
Yeah, like, he should have looked at Spock or
something.
Yeah. Like, that would have been a good thing where, like, Chekhov was maybe walking by and he looked
at
him.
Yeah.
You know,
like, so, yeah, just took a glance at him.
Hey, I put in another time, I put an earworm in you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, you were my mole.
Right.
But, so, and then the whole, like, Khan reveal and the Tribble and the blood.
You're just jumping through the whole story there.
Well, because they had the Tribble and,
right. Well, it's the whole thing where he's in the cell and they talk to him and Bones comes and takes blood from him because let's find out who the hell this guy really is.
Who or what.
Yeah. And the whole reveal that my name is Khan. You know, it's like, okay, so what?
Yeah.
Literally, it's like the reaction's like, who?
Yeah.
I mean, Kirk doesn't even acknowledge it, and Spock's sitting off to the side. I don't know what he was doing. And it's one of those things where, like I said, somebody could have looked this dude up on a computer.
Yeah. They have internet back then?
Well, and the worst part of it is
forward then?
they talk about the Enterprise really wasn't, like, doing its 5-year mission at this point.
No, not yet.
So it was just patrolling around the local systems that are part of the Federation.
Right.
Whereas Marcus is out looking outside of the known space and finds the Botany Bay.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so, like, you know.
Why isn't your flagship out there? Like, who found that? What ship found that? Was it just a passerby freighter? Was it, you know.
Yeah, it's like they really didn't go into the story. And, you know.
Was it a family of boomers, as they call them, in Enterprise?
I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff in this where you're like, okay.
Do you think there's a draft at this where at this point the movie goes in a completely different direction?
Like it was.
Like he's never said, I'm Khan.
Yeah, I am Khan, you know. Like, yeah, there might have been a draft of that somewhere where it was like, you know, and somebody went, could we just make this guy Khan?
Yeah.
Some exec was, you know, reading the script and goes, could this just be Khan? Because everybody keeps asking about Khan. You know, I don't think JJ won a con in there.
No.
No, because he's done interviews that where it, you know, he kind of alludes to it. He won a Benedict Cumberbatch, but I don't think he won a con.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Benedict Cumberbatch could have just been a good villain without being called Kong. He'd been a great villain
just on his own, yeah.
And I mean, same thing. You know, he's superhuman strength, same as any of the eugenics babies. And
I mean, he could have just been a random eugenics baby. And, you know.
Just somebody who's manipulated by the true villain of the movie, Admiral Marcus.
You're right.
Who's been manipulated and is insane anyways. And pretty much like, I'm going to take vengeance on everybody because, you know, you've done this.
Yeah.
And at the point where, you know, he decides to crash the ship into Starfleet headquarters, he thinks his family's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, because he thinks...
Like, he's lost it at that point and everything. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's a villain doing a villainous thing and understandably doing a villainous thing because the whole purpose was, I need to get my people back.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't think Khan was the villain of the movie.
No, Marcus was the villain.
Marcus was the villain of the movie. Khan was just a ploy and
he was a plot device.
Yeah.
So he
was the MacGuffin of the movie, really. Yeah. I mean, literally, he was the MacGuffin.
It's your new favorite word, isn't it?
Well, it's just the thing. And it's just... like, you know, man, where, you know, what's the MacGuffin in this movie?
Yeah.
And it literally is Khan. And it's, you know, Carol Marcus was wasted.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's back in Beyond.
No, I think.
Yeah, I don't think. I didn't see her in the cast list.
You know, she was there for that bikini or the bra and panty scene.
Yeah.
And.
Which was probably one of the most controversial things that ever happened in Star Trek.
Yeah. But I mean, it was.
It was more just, you know, did we need the TNA?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't need the TNA.
No, there was enough of that with Kirk with the two ladies with the tails at the beginning.
Right. Well, you know? That's the thing. Is like, there should have been a scene if they were going to acknowledge the relationship between Kirk and Marcus where, you know, near the end, Kirk and her would have been
kissing or
something. Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's interesting. It's one of
it's not in my top five.
Of the
Star Trek movies, which I'll write that list and you can post it on the site next week. And
I don't even know. Yeah, we should talk about this list.
But I think we'll fill that list in as we do it with each movie, putting it where I rank it at.
Okay.
And that way,
that sounds good.
By the end of the year, you'll see the whole list.
Yeah, because when you said you wanted to do this in reverse chronological order, I don't know if I actually joked or not, but I said, oh, so we're going to do worst to worst.
I said it last week. So. Yeah, it's literally like, you know, one of the bad ones to one of the bad ones.
Yeah.
But they have good stuff in them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll get payoff from this, hopefully, and beyond.
Well, you get payoff. I mean,
there's payoff at the end, but you know what I mean. Like,
the thing they're on their 5-year mission. You know, obviously, I'm a bit more of a fan than most people are of Star Trek, where I read the comic books, and you get payoff in the comic books.
I pick up the comics.
So it's like one of those things where if you're reading the comic book, you're getting a little bit of payoff because the one redeeming thing about that part of Paramount is that they are very interactive with the people who are doing IDW.
Right.
Are doing publishing the
I
books.
I think part of that is IDW too.
Well, you know, the person who's writing the book's been writing the book since number one.
Yep. So
he's missed like two issues.
Yeah.
Out of all that. And they're on their 54th issue now.
Yeah. I mean, that's what? 5, 6 years? 5 years.
Since the first movie.
Yeah. So.
Well, he did Countdown. And then the series came right after.
Which that Countdown thing was awesome.
Right. We'll talk about
that. Which they didn't use any of that.
We'll talk about that with the.
But.
That'll tie into Star Trek.
So the whole thing with like Bones and Carol on the planet, digging around in the missiles, finding the people, you know, again, it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
And it felt shoehorned in.
Well, it literally the whole calm part of the story felt shoehorned in. So it's one of those things where it's rough to talk about because you're mainly going to talk about calm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
All right. So, overall, I think it got off to a good start.
Yeah.
It kind of lost its way in the middle. And then at the end, when the Vengeance shows up, you have this badass ship.
Yeah.
He already knew they damaged the ship. Why do anything other than just come in guns blazing?
Right.
You know, like, don't even give them a chance to, like, hail them or talk to them. Like, he doesn't care that his daughter's on that ship, let's be honest.
Well, he didn't know she was on
there. Right, he doesn't know, so he's going to be pew, 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 yeah. pew.
Well, I think it was the whole thing that, you know, just as he had been manipulating Kirk the whole time.
Yeah.
And manipulating Khan to a certain point. It's one of those things where it's like, eh, you know.
I expected...
The thing is Scotty wouldn't have let it happen.
Right. Well, that's true.
Scotty was there. I mean, it was bad enough, like, what they did to the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but, you know, when Scotty needed to be there, Scotty was there.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of expected Peter Weller at one point to go, you son of a gun, you got me monologuing. You know? Like...
yeah, he did monologue.
A lot. And then Khan monologued.
Well, yeah, Khan is a character that should be monologuing.
He's an orator. That's what he does.
Yeah.
But no, it got really, really frustrating there at the end because, you know, we could have had an awesome space battle. And then you had Kirk and Khan diving out of the ship.
Yeah, Superman style.
Just like they dove out of the ship in Star Trek.
And he acknowledges it, too. Like, I've done this before. Yeah.
It
happened this time on a platform.
Banging my head against the microphone. But yeah, it was that beat didn't need to be there.
And the whole thing where when Admiral Marcus decides he's going to kidnap his daughter.
Yeah.
And they transport her and she starts screaming. I was like, what kind of transporter are they using that it hurt that bad, you know? It's like, geez.
And then, you know, I mean, Marcus.
And then why did it take so long for them to get her from the transporter room up to the bridge? It's like, did they not
because have... Because they had to walk down the neck of the bridge and then all the way back around to, like, the tip of the saucer
section. Your design question is right. And it's another one where it's like, were there no turbo lifts on this?
Or why not just once she's there, beam her? Why, like, I'm pretty sure you have to beam around the ship.
Right.
Because, I mean, Scotty was obviously down in, like, the fuselage section.
Right, yeah.
It was just one of those things. Like, by the time they got on that ship... found what they needed to find to get to the bridge. I
mean, they had walked Carol Marcus up to the...
the Enterprise has been gone for, like, hours.
Yeah.
So,
but, it's like, wait a minute, where did it go? It's behind the moon.
Yeah. So, Peter Weller's death. Like, or Marcus.
Well, the whole build-up, like, you know, when he kicks Carol in the leg and, like, you just hear it shatter...
Like, this was probably, like, the most gratuitous violence we've had.
And we didn't see anything.
And it was very, like, Hitchcockian that way. But, like, of all the Star Treks, like, this was probably the most gratuitous.
Yeah.
And it's very much, like, the Red Viper versus the Mountain.
Yeah.
From Game of Thrones. Yeah. Literally. He grabs his head, which later comes back. He tries to do it to Spock. But you just hear that cracking.
Oh, yeah.
Popping of, like, you know, it was rough. Like, and I'm glad they didn't show it.
Right.
The only thing I maybe would have liked is a little, like, splatter.
Like, he would have had blood on his face, like, when he grabs Kirk and he contacts. And there, Leonard Nimoy.
Yep.
Leonard Nimoy, like, it's like, you waited that long to get in touch with him?
Yeah.
It's like, shouldn't you have, like, just, like, said, hey, you know, I know you said you're not going to tell us anything about anything, but you ever heard of a guy named Khan?
Yeah.
And you would have been like, well, shit, yeah.
Now, I loved his reaction.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, I promised I'd never, like, reveal anything. Right. But this guy's an a-hole.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta kill him. You gotta kill him now.
I died because of this guy. Yeah. You know.
So I had to come back because a planet was born.
Right.
And then that planet started to die. Well, and that's
the
thing.
That was the coolest reaction that Spock could ever have, like Spock Prime could ever have, is did it cost you a lot? And he literally was like, yeah, it did.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I died pretty much.
So. My consciousness had to go into McCoy.
Right.
And then I got it back, and it just felt dirty and wrong.
Let me tell you what you need to do.
So, all right. Then, you know, obviously the ship is damaged. They're coming back towards Earth. My big question is, the distance between Jupiter and Earth.
Yeah.
All right. And this is for both Star Trek and Into Darkness. Because they got blown out of warp, like, around Jupiter.
No. They got...
Were they close?
Yeah, like, they were literally, like... What had happened is they were coming back from Kronos.
Right.
And literally the Vengeance jumped away from Earth. Kronos is far enough away.
Okay, so.
But the Kronos, the Vengeance came for them.
Right.
And then they ran back to Earth.
Right. I'm saying as they're coming back to Earth.
Yeah.
Like, they're around Jupiter, like, when they get knocked out, if I remember correctly. And no, I might be wrong.
I think they were closer out toward the moon.
Regardless of, okay, fine, they're by the moon.
Yeah.
Earth's gravity is not going to capture that ship. And pull it in.
Not until it runs, like, out of... But wait, here's the thing. Where were all the other starships at?
I don't know.
Yeah, because when they leave, there's, like, four starships sitting up there in the bay, and it's like, they don't really have captains because their captains died on Earth.
Well, there's still people.
And nobody like think to say, "Hey, what just look? There's two ships shooting at each other out there.
Why is that ship on fire?
Yeah.
Why is that ship shooting at the ship that's on fire? And holy crap, that's the Enterprise that's on fire.
Yeah.
What the hell is this ship? Are we under attack?
Who built the Black Starship?
Dude, Starfleet sucks.
It's just one of those things where it's like...
Starfleet's like the Jedi Council. They should just be eliminated because they're run by morons.
Well, now you sound like the Sonon Insurrection. You're old and outdated.
Yes, yes, very
No,
much
I
so,
think but... it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, in your storytelling, use a little bit of logic. No pun intended. Use a little bit of logic. If you come to the central area of the Federation and you have two starships shooting at each other... somebody's going to notice and say, hey, maybe we should send a patrol out there and see what's going on.
Like, at least one, like, ship passerby would have, like, the video camera yelling, World Star.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know...
Someone would be recording that to put up on YouTube and...
and make it all the way to San Francisco without another starship going, boom, 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 you know? It's like... Exactly.
But, it was just frustrating.
I mean, I can understand the whole thing of our communications are down, we cannot contact Earth.
Yeah, that's fair.
But is there no sensors? Is there no, like, patrols? You know?
No planetary defenses?
I mean, when the Borg came to Earth, there were planetary defenses. They got blown away, but there were planetary defenses. So. It's like, okay. You know.
Yeah, so, all right.
There's a lot of holes that you could drive a truck and a starship through. In this movie?
And probably another planet.
You probably could bring Nero's ship through and then run it through a black hole.
Starkiller base can just clear on both
sides. Oh, nice. Yeah. We're crossing JJ universes now.
All right. So then, you know, this is where it for sure lost me was the flip-flop of Kirk going into the radiation room.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, literally, like, the line for line.
Yeah. And you know, he was warned, you can't go in there. You won't make it up to them. Like,
all right, I'm James T. Kirk, damn it. I'll do it.
Where are the radiation suits?
You would think there would be some.
Right next
around,
to the
right,
door
yeah.
of the room that you can't go into unless you have a radiation suit. I mean, these people don't wear spacesuits. They travel around space all the time. None of them ever wear spacesuits. Right. And it's why
except for Spock at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. And that thing could, like, withstand the heat of it.
Why isn't Kirk wearing one of those?
Yeah.
You know. Punches Scotty, knocks him out. Of course,
we
couldn't like nerve
pinch him. Yeah, I mean, you know.
I do like that he takes and he puts the seatbelt on.
Well, sure.
It's like,
yeah.
You're my buddy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to die, you're going to die strapped to this seat. The flip there. And you know, that's
well,
some different
kicking,
text. Yeah.
The whole kicking thing.
Well, he's kicking down on
it. And I'm like, what is that supposed to do? I'm like, what are you doing? You should be kicking it from the side, trying to kick it up.
But then he couldn't be swinging there like a monkey.
Right.
Like,
and I'm like, what did that do? And then all of a sudden it pops back into place.
And maybe it's a thing where it needed to go down then up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they didn't really. They could have, like,
panned
around.
Another technical explanation that they don't, you know.
So, but, and, you know, I don't need to, like, see how warp drive works, you know.
But like, then you get to the part where he's dying.
Yeah.
And Mr. Spock, you better get down here.
Yeah.
Instead of Captain Kirk, you better get down.
Jim, you better get down.
But, and the thing is they didn't do the obligatory him climbing down ladders and running through hallways. And I'm like, we could have had that. Yeah. You know, you could have built that. You could have built that up a little bit more. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, is Kirk dead? And then why didn't you just leave him dead?
Yeah, exactly. And it would have been great if Spock would have told him of everybody knows he was the most human.
Yeah.
Like, it really, like, because, like, Kirk, like, exemplifies what humans should be.
Exactly.
You know, at our optimum, we're explorers and we ask questions and we leap and we learn new things.
We piss people off.
Yeah.
You know?
But, And
the whole hand touching.
Yeah.
And, well, it was cool that Kirk did do the
live
long and
prosper. Yeah. But,
and then died.
And then he yelled Khan. And it's like, why? Like, there's not enough anger there to blame Khan for this.
Right.
Because you know whose fault it really was? Marcus. He
should
have yelled,
dead.
Marcus.
Yeah, that would have sounded really good. No, I think that part was kind of like, bleh. But then the fight.
Yeah.
Then the chase and the fight was
actually
pretty cool.
The chase was fun. It was very Bourne Identity.
Oh, yeah. You know. Then when Khan runs through a window, it's like, what did you just do?
I did like, you know, ooh, he jumped 30 meters. Well, yeah, he's better than us.
Yeah. You know, yeah, he's a superhuman.
Yeah.
When I don't think anybody knew.
Well, right.
You know, at that point, so, that it was like, what is this guy?
But in watching him navigate down the saucer section of the destroyed Vengeance was really cool.
Yeah.
And their fight was fun. And, you know, the way they ended it with bringing Uhura into it.
Yeah.
Like, that worked.
Well, yeah, but because it was just in this Star Trek, mm-hmm. you know, in the original Star Trek, the big three was Kirk, Spock, McCoy. In this Star Trek, it's Kirk, Spock, Uhura.
Right.
With obvious reasons why, you know. I mean, you know, she is Mrs. Spock.
I don't really want to get into, like, the romance of it.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't do as much with it in this one.
I feel like they do a good job with it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't like really...
This one, she was pissed off at him because she knew he was trying to kill herself.
What is that like?
Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, the whole thing with him trying to die. And then her, you know, pretty much ripping his ass for it. And then at the end, you know, it's like when they come back from Kronos, it's like just that smirk and that kiss. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's all I need. I don't need, you know, the whole, you know, we're going to get married and all that type of stuff.
So,
but
you don't need any
the fight scene was cool. And watching the behind the scenes of almost everything on that thing is rubber.
Yeah.
Because they knew that it was going to be that hardcore of a fight. And I mean, you know, obviously there's stuntmen involved. But they said at certain points it's Benedict, and it is Zachary.
I mean, like, because Vulcans are stronger than humans. Right, they're more durable. So.
Especially when they're on Earth.
Yeah.
Because the gravity is different, and it's like one of those things where when Spock jumps, I'm like, well, shit, there's that Vulcan.
Yep.
You know, there's that Vulcan blood.
So, no, I enjoyed the fight. I would have liked to have seen less Earth, like, to be honest.
And I think we're going to get that in Beyond. Well,
hopefully. But, they bookended the movie with Earth.
Right.
Where, you know, the Star Trek starts out in deep space.
Well, and that's the whole thing. At the end of this, it's, you know, literally, we're going on our 5-year mission.
Yeah.
So. And we get the whole space, the final frontier. And I think that's fine.
I watched this and I asked the question, should they have started with an origin? Or should Star Trek have been, you know, done a little bit of how they all came together and then they've been gone for 5 years?
Like they actually went out on their 5-year mission?
Yeah, and like, because again, they had what was it, 3 or 4 seasons of the original series?
3 seasons.
3 seasons, yeah. Right? I mean, they had what, 66 episodes?
70.
Oh, that's right. They did like 26 something. Episodes.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, they had 70 some odd.
Well, yeah, tell a story, right.
And like much like what DC, like let's bring this back to comic books real quick. Much like what DC tried to do with their New 52, they're trying to shoehorn a whole bunch of history into a short amount of time.
Well, I mean, in the comic books, like in the IDW stuff, the period of time is the period of time between the movies,
right?
And I mean, they literally like have written it that way. And some of the stories that were in the comic books were episodes reimagined,
sure.
And I'm like, okay, that's fine, you know, and it's taking place around, you know, the sectors that they're supposed to be exploring. But where's the 5-year mission?
Yeah.
Because, and the thing is,
here's the problem with that, too, is you and I read comic books.
Right.
You know, there's
not everybody's reading
comics. There's a dwindling number of people who read comic books. And I don't think there's a lot of people who are going to be like, oh, give me that Star Trek book.
Right.
Because they're going to be like, what is IDW?
Right. Well, my whole thing is...
Like, to the mainstream.
You know, thing. If you're listening to this and you've not read any of the IDW stuff, most of it's in trade paperback.
Yeah, check
it
out.
Go back and read some of those stories. It's really cool. There's a storyline called the Q Gambit, where Q actually shows up in this universe. One of the best Star Trek stories I think I've ever read. You know, obviously it involved my favorite Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. Right. But, you know, it is probably one of the best stories.
It's all real well written. The art is really
good. Oh, yeah. They've got a good team of artists that work, you know, rotating out, and, you know, Joe Caroni, who I know, does a lot of the covers. So it's like, you know, IDW is doing a quality books with Star Trek. I mean, they've put out a new one called Starfleet Academy.
Mm-hmm.
First issue, maybe second issue is out.
There's been 2, maybe 3, actually.
And it's like, you know, okay, that's cool. It's going back and telling stories about, you know, people that... Spock and Kirk dealt with, and you know, and Kirk's not a main character, he's just in a couple pages of the first issue. But you know, where do you go like in Beyond? What are we going to see in Beyond?
Yeah, so that's
the I want aliens question. I mean, there's enough aliens in the background of this movie, but I'm like, I want some alien villains. Yeah. I want some alien interaction with other, you know, downtrodden people who Kirk and them are going to have to...
Well, and I want to know what the fallout from the Romulans were.
Well,
from
right, Star Trek. Yeah.
Because that should have been touched on, even just in passing, right. Like just in dialogue. But, all right. Overall, let's say stars. How many stars do you give this one?
3.5.
3.5?
Yeah.
I go 3.
Yeah.
Just
because there's enough that I like in it that I can go a little bit over 3.
So what I like about it is it's mindless.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just put it on. Like, you can just turn it on and listen to it.
Right.
Like, it's fine to rewatch.
Right.
You just have to suspend a whole bunch of disbelief right. to
I
watch
mean,
it.
You know, so. If you 3.5, because if you look, I have more yeah. likes than I have dislikes on right. there.
Yeah, and I like it more than obviously. I dislike it. But did you like, well, I'll ask you that next week.
Next week? Next month?
Next month, sorry. Yeah, next week.
Star Trek's next
month. Yeah, Star Trek's next month. All right. So,
and we're not going to do this on any certain week. So it may be the first week. It may be the last week.
Yeah,
of the month.
Who knows? Just kind of depends.
Know. We might just let you know ahead of time.
Yeah, we'll definitely let people know. We'll tweet about it or something.
That way you can watch it.
All right. So comic books this week. Everybody has everything coming out. I just want to highlight a couple that's on both of our lists. Is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And is that the end of Vader Down?
Yeah.
Okay. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Zero.
Yeah.
Comes out from IDW, of all things. And Walking Dead number 150, mm-hmm. which is the kickoff to the next big event. And then Secret Wars number 9. So this is the end of Secret Wars.
Yes. Yeah, it's a definite ending. So definite ending. On
those
that
are
one.
Kind of the highlights of this week and from comics.
I'm just going to mention one that I've been, you know, I've actually read the first 2 issues. Huck.
Huck is great.
Huck is awesome.
So
if you're not reading Huck, you should be.
But
go out and try and find the first 2 issues at least. But, you know, Mark Millar.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So Huck is a cool character, and I'm excited for this book. All right. So next week we may have a special guest.
We may have a guest. So, if not, we'll still be discussing the same thing.
Actually, the next 2 weeks we may have in studio guests.
Yeah.
So
Legends of Tomorrow premieres next week.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna have my buddy David from Collider Video and Screen Rant come join us and talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that'll be in 2 weeks.
It will be
obviously
fun.
What Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow all premiere next week.
Yep.
iZombie, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
iZombie came back this week.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't watched it. So
it's a ridiculous show that I enjoy watching.
Right. The comic book was good. I like the comic.
That's why. And it's a Rob Thomas, like Veronica Mars feel to it. So, and apparently Kristen Bell might be showing up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, guys. So that's the episode this week. We've stepped out of the darkness back into the light now. That's the cheesiest thing ever.
Oh my God. I can't believe you did that.
I did it just for you, man. Hey, 5-star reviews, maybe not for that comment, but like for all the other nice things that we say, on iTunes or wherever you're listening to podcasts would be great.
Spread the word,
share. We share lots of cool stuff. The guy that directed Creed is going to direct Black Panther.
Yeah.
That's cool news. So we'll touch more on that, next week. Some of the cool, like Marvel announcements that have come out.
Yeah, it'll probably be a Marvel-centric episode next week.
Definitely. Which we haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah, so we haven't done The Walking Dead comes back in February.
So, yep.
We will turn back into the Walking Dead podcast.
The Walking Dead infamous podcast.
Yeah.
The infamous Walking Dead podcast. But,
The infamous dead.
The infamous dead. There you go. All right. So, so 5 stars would be great. Follow us. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're just, you can find
like us everywhere
on Infamous Podcast.
Yes.
Johnny is on Twitter as Johnny Podorf.
There you go. I don't remember.
Instagram, he's J. Michael Podorf. I'm on Twitter as Brian.
You're
Tour.
Better following me on Instagram than Twitter.
I'm on Instagram as Brian Tudor, which I haven't posted anything in like a week.
Shame on you.
I know. I did. I just switched out my little.
I haven't posted anything in 3 months.
My little signature figure. My little mini
figure.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I swapped him out. He's got the Flash like t-shirt now.
Oh, okay.
I need to start taking pictures of him again. But yeah. All right, guys. This has been the Infamous Podcast, episode 26, Out of Darkness. We will see you guys all next week.
Bye. live long and prosper.
Later.